His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, the 3rd of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for the next half hour, leading us through the end of this first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will talk about Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, and how he taught his disciples to pray. Then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Carl Beckwith will join us. We'll talk about 4th century Bishop of Alexandria, Athanasius. This man left an enormous footprint in the life of the church, one that extends all the way into our day. Mary Aberstadt will join us in the last part of the program to talk about the new atheism. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
That's great to hear. So am I.
After church on Sunday, yesterday, I was sitting on the kind of the back bench with a little four-year-old girl, and she told me that she had just finished memorizing, 4 years old, just four, by the way, she had just finished memorizing the Lord's Prayer. I immediately thought of you, and I wonder about your reaction.
Well, that brings great joy to my heart. I think that is fantastic, and I wish every four-year-old, three-year-old could be learning the Lord's Prayer. That's exactly what we want to happen. These are the words our Lord gave to us when his disciples said, teach us to pray. And this prayer covers everything. And when you're four or you're three or you're two and you're learning just parts and snippets of it around the dinner table and hearing it in church, you don't understand it all. You don't know those big words like trespassing and forgiveness. You don't even know sins and what is meant by daily bread. But it doesn't matter because we're writing those words on their hearts and their minds, and we're teaching a pattern of prayer and setting them up for a lifetime of knowing how to approach their Heavenly Father as a child approaches their dear earthly father when they need something and they can't take care of it themselves. And it's a beautiful thing to teach children that wonderful prayer.
It wasn't that long ago, about a decade ago, a little book came out called The Prayer of Jabez. And it swept through the church like wildfire across denominational lines. It was everywhere, being bought by everyone. And the premise of the book, I remember talking about it many times on the program, premise of the book was there's this little prayer out of an obscure corner of the Old Testament. And if you prayed this prayer sincerely and you really, truly believed hard enough, this prayer would produce for you kind of a new opening of God's storehouse. God would broaden your horizons and your boundaries and all those kinds of things. But you had to do it just so, and you had to be really super sincere. How is that different from how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray?
Well, you know, we don't really know much about this prayer of Jabez. It's there. Prayer's uttered, and we never hear again about this. And that's quite different than in the New Testament, where the Son of God, Jesus himself, answers a direct question from his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus explains to him, when you pray, say, and he gives them these words, and he has them start with acknowledging their Father, their Heavenly Father, and hallowing his name, asking for his kingdom to come, and these starting it with eternal things, with godly things, and then getting to everyday things, daily bread, forgiving our sins, It's a very clear teaching and a very clear response from the Son of God to his disciples about praying. And this prayer is a prayer that's set in faith and knowledge of who God is and who Christ is for us. And the prayer, it puts in God's hands our lives, our fortunes, our needs, and it trusts God to take care of his children. And, you know, you take that prayer, and you also then, you know, go to John, where Jesus tells his disciples to ask in his name, to pray in his name. And there's the real instruction from Scripture to us about prayer.
When Luther begins to explain this prayer, either in his small catechism or in the large catechism, he spends a lot of time and puts a lot of emphasis on the opening of this prayer, the words, Our Father.
Yes.
What does he have to say?
Well, it's a wonderful thing that he points out that it puts us in the posture of the reality, not just posture, of being the dear children of this heavenly Father, so much greater even than an earthly father who truly loves his children, the heavenly Father who wants nothing but good for us, who wants us to be saved, who wants to give us every good thing, and indeed does so through his Son, who lived, suffered, and died for us. It sets us in the right context. We come to him helpless, in need, like a child to their earthly father, can't fix this problem, can't provide for themselves, needing the help of their father. And that takes the, you know, in contrast to the Jabez thing where you think, well, if I do it just right and I say it just right and I have enough faith and all these things that I do, the Lord's Prayer and Luther's point is that we come really like the little child, helpless and needing all that our Father can give us to get on in this life. And the prayer goes on about all kinds of things that we deal with in life, from daily bread to big things like forgiveness for our sins.
You said at the beginning that this prayer covers everything. Do you really mean that? I mean, that's a pretty broad statement.
Well, yeah, I do mean that, and I think that's what we confess. It's what Luther teaches in both the Small and Large Catechism, where he writes so beautifully about this prayer. But when you think about God's kingdom coming, and the way that Luther phrases that is that, you know, God's kingdom comes whether we pray for it or not. And he sets this out to show us that it isn't our prayers that make these things happen. It's God that does these things for us. And when you look at the fourth petition there, give us each day our daily bread, that covers everything we need in this body and life. That corresponds to what we confess in the first article of the Creed, that we believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and in that explanation that he gives me all that I need for this body and life. That's daily bread, the stuff we need to get on day to day, moment to moment, here on earth as human beings, as children of God. And then it goes to the forgive us our sins, and that's our great need, not only here on this earth, but for eternity. For if our sins aren't forgiven, we can't be God's children, and we won't spend eternity with him. And then his kingdom coming is a matter of judgment for us that doesn't end well. So we need our sins forgiven. We need our daily bread for our days, and we need his help to forgive those who sin against us, and then to lead us not into temptation. Doesn't that cover everything that Satan throws at us as God's children in this sinful, broken world? Temptation all around, lairs and traps and tricks to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus and to put our trust in ourselves or something or someone else, tempting us away from our true Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he gave his Son to die for us. So I think it's all there, don't you?
I think it is. We've only got about a minute before this break, no more than a minute. We've talked about praying in Jesus' name, and many would point out the Lord's Prayer doesn't end in Jesus' name explicitly. How would you explain that to a little kid with less than a minute?
That's a great question. I don't know that I've ever had to explain that, but I think here we use all of Scripture to teach us, and this is one place where Jesus teaches us, and he's teaching the disciples, and then, you know, it's in John that he says, pray in my name and ask in my name. And we take all of that together. It's not wrong, certainly, to pray the Lord's Prayer and not end it in Jesus' name. We pray it as he taught it to us. But that praying in Jesus' name is perhaps something we should talk about a little bit more on the other side, because Jesus had some direction about that and what it means for us.
We'll talk about praying in Jesus' name, and we will talk a little bit about what Jesus teaches about prayer and often misunderstood persistence in prayer on the other side of the break. It's Monday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ, and you'll find a link to Growing in Christ at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House, ask them about Growing in Christ, and they'll even send you free samples so you can kind of look over what it's all about. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ, or as I said, find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the Listen on Demand page. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour with Deaconess Pam Nielsen talking about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about praying in Jesus' name. What should we know about this? I mean, other than, and I think most people obviously understand that it's not just about kind of formally tacking the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer. There's nothing superstitious about this. What does Jesus mean when he instructs us to pray in his name?
Well, yeah, what you say is right, that, you know, this isn't a little hocus-pocus kind of magic potion. If you pray in Jesus' name, you get what you ask for. But it is to say, to pray in faith and trust, not in yourself or in your words, and to approach God really knowing you don't deserve any of what you ask. But you pray in Jesus' name for his sake, because he has opened that door to the Heavenly Father to you by his suffering and death. He has made you a child of God, an heir of heaven. He is the one, because of what he did, that makes us dear children of a Heavenly Father who wants to hear the prayers of his children, who wants to know their hearts, and who wants to give them every good thing in this life and the next. So that's all comes in that praying in Jesus' name. And Jesus, our mediator, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who paid the price, that all comes with that. And it opens heaven and it opens the Father's ear to us, sinful people who are now children of God because of Jesus.
So it's really about praying and expecting to be heard and answered.
That's
solely
right.
Because of Jesus and not because of anything in us, our sincerity, proper wording, getting all our thoughts collected in an organized way. It is just about trusting faith,
right.
Really, faith.
It's faith. It's praying in faith and praying in trust. You're right, not about our goodness or any of that. It's really the beggar, like Luther says, as he died, we are all beggars. And so we hold up the merits of Christ and what he's done for us. And we hold up what he's given to us by his suffering and death. It's praying in faith in Christ, and the Heavenly Father, you know, sees us as his children because we are his dear children now because of Christ, and he will give us he will answer our every prayer, and he will answer for our good, even when we can't see it, even when it doesn't make sense or we don't understand it or it seems like he's turning a deaf ear, and you know, we pray and pray and pray and nothing changes and we don't understand it, and we wrestle with God. Faith says he hears me, he loves me, he's going to answer for my good at the best time for me, for my salvation. And we go on. We say that prayer and we go on and we trust. And we let go of our worry and know that God is on it, on it for us because of Jesus.
Okay. This is not immediately beside the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus has a lot of teaching about persistence in prayer. He tells parables about it. He tells us to ask and keep asking. Mm-hmm. Is it our persistence that eventually sways God's mind toward answering our prayer?
Well, that's a great question. You're right. Jesus talks about this, and especially here in John 16, where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And literally there, ask is best translated, keep on asking, and you'll receive. It seems like he's wanting us to keep persisting. But it isn't that persistence turns God's heart. And you hear people say that, well, you know, if we get 1,000 people praying, or if we all pray the same prayer, and we all, you know, bombard the gates of heaven with our prayers, then God's going to have to listen to us. No. God does listen to even the single prayer of the least person that we could imagine praying, trusting in Jesus. But praying persistently keeps us in a pattern of life that looks not to ourselves to solve our problems, to rescue, but looks to God and trust Him. And even as we utter those words of prayer, we're reminded where our help comes from, why it comes, and it keeps us in the right frame of mind. Does God hear a single prayer spoken softly in the dark closet, in the darkness of night when we're afraid or faced with the terrors of life? You bet He does. And He not only hears it, He answers it. But He wants us to always persistently turn to Him in faith, knowing that He hears and answers because He loves us.
Some are wary or critical even of prayers that are memorized. We started talking about that little four-year-old girl who had memorized the Lord's Prayer, or prayers out of books, and this is certainly out of the book, even though that book is the Bible. And they say, look, the Lord's Prayer is fine and good, but it really is intended to be an outline, a springboard for our own excordate, extemporaneous praying. And Jesus never intended us to pray that prayer word for word.
That's very sad thinking, I think. And to go to the opposite end and to say that we can never make up a prayer just out of our heads and hearts is the other extreme of that, of course. And neither are right. He gives us this prayer. He gave it to His disciples. He gives it to us. Of course, we pray that prayer, and it is the Lord's Prayer, and it's the one He gave to us. He didn't say, you know, pray kind of like this or sort of. He gave specific words. He gave a clear pattern of prayer. And we also have the Psalter filled with prayers. God's Word and uttered by David and other writers of the Psalter, just prayer after prayer, really covering every human condition. Now, these prayers do such good things for us. When we are at that moment of despair in our life, when the pain is so deep, the suffering so difficult, the water so high we can barely grasp for air with whatever we're facing, we have nothing left in us, poor sinful beings, to pray. We can't think of the words. Well, we have that wonderful promise that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words, you know, can't bring out. But we also have the Word of God that we can use to form our prayers. We can pray the same prayer that David did, confessing our sin and asking for forgiveness in Psalm 51. We can pray the same prayer that David did when we feel that all the world is against us in Psalm 46, and pray about our Lord being a mighty fortress for us. Those are gifts to us, and they are wonderful prayers. They're God's Word for us. And, you know, I think of all the times in the struggles in my life to know that there's a prayer for me when it's all so awful I can't even put words together. And then to also know that the Holy Spirit prays when no words come for me. These are gifts from God. And the point is, it's not about us and our eloquent words or our sincerely felt words or our poetic words. It's about a Heavenly Father who loves His children, who wants to give them every good thing, and who does so through the Son, who suffered and died for them. And He knows we come broken and empty, and He even gives us words to pray. Beautiful. He's everything to us.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week, Pastor.
You too. Next week, we'll talk to Pam about the ascension of Christ. Now, speaking of prayer and prayer books, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Stark's Prayer Book. This is a almost 100-year-old resource that is as good as it was when it was first penned. It is the kind of book that, in any circumstance in life, you can open it and find a prayer that is apropos of your circumstances. And the great thing about it is that this is the kind of prayer that has stood the test of time, proven useful to Christians in every circumstance. And there's nothing wrong with praying out of a book. These words can be your words. and they are deeply rooted in not only the prayers of Scripture, but in Holy Scripture itself. Stark's Prayer Book, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May. Find out more about it at Concordia Publishing House. Get to them by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask them about Stark's Prayer Book, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll kick it off talking about Athanasius. If his name sounds familiar, there's a good reason for that. Not only does a creed bear his name, the Athanasian Creed, but he left a mighty long shadow theologically in the life of the church and of Christians. We'll explore that with Dr. Carl Beckwith. And then we'll talk about new atheism. Mary Eberstadt of the Hoover Institute will be our guest in the last half hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.